Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I'm coming to you live with just a little southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And, wow, is it really hot here in Atlanta today, but still a very wonderful and beautiful place to live. Well, how are you doing today? I just want to thank all of you for joining me today. I have people from all over the world listening to the show now, and I'm really grateful for that. And I just wanted to say to you that no matter where you are or who you are, I pray that you are creating for yourself a beautiful and peaceful day today. Well, I have had a great weekend. I just returned from Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is my hometown. And for those of you who are not familiar with this area, it's about 2 hours away from Atlanta, and I had sort of a mini family reunion, and it was so great being around my friends and my family. And my family said to me, Constance, you never say hello to us from your radio show. So I just want to say hello to my friends and family in Tennessee and to let them know how much I appreciate them loving and supporting me. Well, today, before I introduce my very special guest, Ms. Tyka Nelson, I want to share with you the lineup that I have scheduled for you in July, and is it phenomenal? On July the 5th, which is next Sunday, I have Glenn Harrell. He is the UK's best-selling self-help audio author. And then the rest of the month, I have Dr. Lisa Love. She is the author of Beyond the Secret, Spiritual Power, and the Law of Attraction. Then I have Phil Harris, author, Jesus Taught It to the Early Roots of the Law of Attraction, and Tulane Medainer, author, Secret Laws of Attraction, and Coach Yourself to Success. And so you see, I have all kinds of great experts lined up for you, and the whole purpose of the show is for you to get information about your thinking and believing so that you can live out your purpose and your destiny more fully. And, of course, you know if you missed the live airing of the show, a lot of you are very busy. Remember, you can always download it later and listen to it again and again. And I was reading on the Internet last week that it has been determined that you need to listen to new information at least 7 times before you really get it and before it gets down into your spirit or into your subconscious. Well, I feel led to just sort of change the format a little bit today. You know, I normally do my wow, but, you know, Michael Jackson died, and this morning I had a very interesting call from one of my clients, and he called me this morning because I'm his coach, and he was very devastated about Michael's death because this particular client happens to be a celebrity and Grammy winner. And, of course, I'm not going to share with you who that particular person is, but he wanted me to share with my listeners about the importance of dealing with your own unresolved stuff before you actually embrace, accept, and receive success. Because I know a lot of you are using the Law of Attraction to bring into your life your heart's desires and the manifestation of your dreams, be it relationships, businesses, or a new home or a new car. But you have to be ready for success. So this particular celebrity client just wanted me to share with you about how he has been phenomenally changed because of the coaching services that he is receiving from me. His life has changed personally and professionally. And, of course, he's very shocked by everything that's happening in the entertainment world. And when I shared with him today that Tyka Nelson, of course, who is an author, songwriter, and entertainer, was going to be my guest today, we just felt like that was really divinely ordained. So in light of the conversation that I had with my client this morning, He just suggested that I share and offer my counseling or coaching services to my listeners. You know, I rarely do that. I think I've done that about maybe once. So this is kind of like a quick summary of my counseling or coaching services. Of course, you guys know that I have 20 years experience. I'm experienced, licensed, and certified, and I utilize a holistic approach, including psychotherapy and spirituality. I'm not a novice. I've coached and or counseled probably about 10,000 people in my career. My first rule is I never coach until I've counseled people, because you cannot coach on top of stuff is what I say. So I help you identify and deal with your past hurts, beliefs, and behaviors that's been sabotaging your life and success, help you to identify and clarify what you want personally and professionally, and I support you in achieving that. I also help you to develop strategies and projects that move you toward your goals. So basically, as your coach, I would help to take you from where you are to where you want to be. So if you are feeling stuck, but you're ready to go to the next level, and if you're willing to do the work, and if you want to be prepared for your manifestation and you're ready for change, then you can contact me for a private consultation. You can email me at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com, or you could call me directly at 404-402-7769. Well, let me move on. Well, you know, I said earlier that it is no accident that we have with us this dynamic woman, Tyka Nelson, and I just want to introduce her right now. She's just such a powerful woman. Tyka is a songwriter who is extraordinarily anointed and talented, and she is the only full sister of the music rock legend Prince. Tyka grew up surrounded by music. I'm going to let her share that, and plays four different instruments. Can you imagine that? She is the author of Mama Never Taught Me How to Sing, which is an inspirational Christian autobiography chronicling her life, experiences, struggles, and ultimate victory and restoration of her music, life, and purpose. The book is riveting, it's inspirational, and it is empowering. Tyka also has a new CD entitled A Brand New Me. I can't wait for her to tell us about some of the songs on that CD, which is a 16-song compilation that inspires and uplifts its listeners. For the past 13 years, Tyka has written and recorded gospel music, rededicating her life to the Word of God and sharing her message to the world. And I'm just so excited to have her with us today. Tyka, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Hi, Constance. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's a beautiful Sunday morning here in Minneapolis.
Well, I've never been to Minneapolis. During the summer, is it like really warm there? Or
we have our days. We get up to sometimes even 100.
Really?
But yeah. We get some warm days.
Okay. Well, this is my first autobiographical interview. So I kind of feel like Barbara Walters, Tyka. So let's get started.
You have a
very interesting life. So talk to our listeners just a little bit about yourself, your book. Why did you write the book, Mama Never Taught Me How to Sing?
I wrote the book originally because I was just moved. I was watching television one day, and there was a gentleman, I can't recall which show it was on, and I've always struggled with weight all of my life, and they had to take the side of the house off to get him out of there.
I remember that show. Mm-hmm.
He seemed so alone, and I remember crying, and I was thinking, but I'm right here. You're not alone. There's other people just like you, and maybe if I write a book, then I can reach out to some of those people so that they won't feel so alone. And that kind of started, you know, why I wrote the book in the beginning. Things changed in my life throughout my life, and it ended up being then, all right, it was more of a self type of therapy to find out why I would do some of the things I did, what made me maybe even walk slow, and just everything. And so the book's been a really good revelation to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I found also that I couldn't write the end of the book if it didn't have a happy ending. There was no need for me to write a book
right
about all the different things that I experienced. And then about 5 years ago, I accepted God back in my life, and that started that happy ending for me. Then I felt I could finish it.
Right. So what was it growing up with a legendary brother, Prince? What was that like for you, and what was your childhood like?
I think our lives were like any other children in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think people think because somebody turns out to be a basketball player or something like that, that maybe something different was in that household. And I don't really believe that. It's just my dad was a pianist. And he played downtown at a club after his day job. And my mother would sing at the piano next to him. And so if anything, that would be the only thing I can think of that's different. No, most mothers didn't rehearse with the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where me and my brother get a lot from them.
And so, you know, Tyka, they're saying now that a child's personality is formed by the age of five. Looking back over your life, what kinds of things happened to you? What kinds of experience did you experience that really sort of formulated your life?
I learned lessons from everybody around me, and then I also learned things from television. I was sick as a child, and so I had pains in my body. If I played too hard, mm-hmm. it's a type of arthritis, but they haven't still diagnosed it as arthritis. So just that type of thing for a child. I couldn't play as hard as the other kids or run as far or something like that because when I went home at night, I'd hurt everywhere.
Wow.
So something like that would form an obese child because that child can't, you know, whatever it eats, it won't, you know, get to work off those calories and those extra pounds kind of stay on.
Right.
And so then I started to gain weight. I was overweight in high school, and those things change your mind.
Right.
And I touch on that in the book because I watched some of the other heavyset kids in the neighborhood, and some were mean and some would cry a lot. And that forms something in everybody's mind. If you're,
right.
you know, short as a child or too tall as a child or have big, thick glasses as a child.
Right.
So a lot of the prejudice-type things. I've got the weight issue. That's one thing I'm struggling with here as a child. And then I come to find out that I'm black on top of that. So it's like, okay, God, you gave me two strikes here. It seems like I'm fat and black.
Okay.
And the world around me. Go ahead.
And it was so interesting because children form the image very early in their lifetime, and so whatever words were spoken over you determine how you see yourself. So would you say that your self-image and your self-esteem was really low as a child and as an adolescent?
Very much so, but only this child was affected that way. You've got other children in the neighborhood that were told they're flat or too dark or too short or too tall. And it would never amount to anything. And some of those same kids would then work harder and excel and
right.
make that a lie. Other kids, what I did was, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's true. I am too ugly to look at. And so instead I turned it all in as a safe self-hatred type thing.
Right. And so they've discovered that you're so right that you can have the same children in the same family experiencing the same thing, but because of our psychological makeup, we experience and internalize it differently.
Right.
And so as an adolescent being overweight and not feeling really great about yourself, did you turn to music or what did you do to medicate, and I call any addiction, including overeating, drugs, workaholism, a form of medication? What did you do to kind of get over that whole self-image complex that you had?
At first, it was you do what a child does, and so I drew a lot, and mm-hmm. that helped to release some of that because I was very good at drawing. My mom's an artist,
mm-hmm.
so that came easy for me. I did that. I wrote plays and books and things like that when I was a child. But then later, and music, and then later on, you find out, okay, there's something called weed. then so I would go and smoke a joint, and that helped to relieve it. And so I found different ways, which were even more damaging, the overeating, the binge eating, the hiding the food, eventually becoming bulimic, then anorexic. I mean, I've been through a lot of different things, and it all stems from those thoughts that were in my head, that I'm
right.
not a good person, don't deserve to live.
And those thoughts really became a self-fulfilling prophecy for you. And as we were talking earlier before we came live on the air, you know, I talked about Michael Jackson, and you certainly understand the entertainment industry. And I heard that, you know, and I'm certainly not judging him because he's certainly a legend, but so many of his issues stem from childhood, and he was told you have an ugly nose or you're not good enough. And so he walked in that prophecy all of his life.
Yeah, and that's the end of the book, the part of the happy ending for me in the book, Mama Never Taught Me How to Sing, is that those things have now turned around. They don't have to, you don't have to do that to a child.
Right.
Kind of the last chapter in the book even mentions that what would have happened had none of these things ever been written on my slate in my life. That I wasn't, if that no one had ever told me I wouldn't amount to anything, that I wasn't, you know, ugly or fat or too dark because I'm black and too light to be white and, you know, that type of thing.
Right. And so you really have to, as a child, I say that once you become an adult, you have to take a look at what do I really believe about myself? What
right.
words
exactly.
have I been saying to myself for years, and how can I begin to change that?
And is so, it even true?
Yeah,
a lot
and
of
is it true? Right.
My self-talk was all lies.
Right. So did you get counseling during those years, Taika, or did you seek out help? What did you
I
do?
I did. I've been in and out of different centers, and I've seen several psychologists, and I think part of it is that they didn't know the right answers.
Mm-hmm.
Or questions to ask. I didn't have the answers, and they didn't know the right questions.
Right.
And so I had what then I believe is kind of just had to go back to the manual. And if I'm a VCR and I don't know how to work me being that VCR, I need to pull out the manual and find out where's the off button and the how do I put a tape in and eject tape. So I need to figure out who this person is, if I'm a VCR.
Right.
So I had to go to the source, who was the creator. I go to God. I find out that there's a book of instructions on how I work. And by reading that book and hooking myself up with that, that started to answer all of those questions, and that was my therapy.
Right. So how did your image at that time affect your relationships with people? Did you have relationship with people? Did you trust people? Did you allow people to get close to you? What about relationships?
I had a lot of relationships, had a lot of different friends off and on. I still have a couple in my life. They did get close, but only so close, because I also come from a background of secrets, what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's just so much you can tell people anyway if that's your belief system.
That
and
is
so
true.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't walk up to somebody and say, I'm a bulimic. Somebody sees your wrist and you've got cuts on them, you go, oh, well, you must have been playing with a cat. Yeah, I hit it on a door, whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's all about secrets and...
Well, you know, I have a saying that you're only as sick as your secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do release what is on the inside of you, or you are vulnerable enough in a group or with God or with a friend, how healing comes to you. So there were a lot of secrets in your house?
Secrets, personal secrets that I wouldn't tell anyone.
Right. And so how did that affect your relationship with choosing relationships with men?
With men, there wasn't a trust issue there. I wouldn't choose the right men because I didn't even know how to, you know, who's going to teach you how to choose a man?
Right.
Somebody needs to sit you down and talk to you and say, baby, now this is what you do, and baby, this isn't what you do. When my mother and father split, my mother went and got 3 jobs, and so that took both parents out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you've got a child trying to learn how to comb its hair and, you know, going to school with nappy-looking hair and funny-looking hair, and you get teased behind that too. So in writing the book, it was good to see a lot of those different things.
Right. Because in relationships, you never choose any higher than how you feel about yourself.
Yes.
I know in my life personally, when I really began to love, respect, and honor myself, there are just certain relationships now that just cannot come into my life. But like you, at the time, I didn't know it. And
right.
Relationships is one way, especially that we as women medicate ourselves.
Yeah, looking for something there.
Right. We're looking for something outside of ourselves. We're looking for love because we don't truly love ourselves. And so we're looking for somebody else to give us something that we don't even have for ourselves.
Right, exactly. And once I got that for myself, I stopped looking, and then someone came in my life. But
okay. Well, you know, this show is about the law of attraction. So were you believing for someone to come into your life? Had you been praying to God for someone to come into your life? Or were you just focusing in on yourself?
I was focusing in on myself at the time.
Okay.
I needed Tyka well. I wanted to be well.
Right. And, you know, interestingly enough, Tyka, people always say, I wasn't even thinking when I just took my mind off of the relationship, then somebody came to me. Why do you think that happened?
I have no clue. Maybe because then you look so much like you got yourself together, and I'm talking right. And who wouldn't want to be associated with somebody who's got themselves together?
Right. And what happens, I believe, just on an attraction level is that you were focusing in on yourself and loving yourself and taking care of yourself, and people can sense that. And when you're on that level of wholeness, you must have been really getting whole, and this man just came into your life.
Yeah.
So are you happy?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh,
good, good. Well, what was the lowest point in your life, and how did you recover? And what can you say to someone who may be at their lowest right now?
I think the lowest point is and off and on, I guess it is that low point, is when you feel you're alone, when you feel that there is no connection to nothing else and no one else.
Oh, boy. So many people feel that way now.
That's why I write the book. That's why I do the music. That's why I keep going out and telling people, is because what I'm talking about is like a wonderful restaurant I found. Mm-hmm. I documented it, all the things, just about, there's nothing worse in that book that you could do. You know, a person, I've been through a lot of stuff, but on the other end of this, there's someone who loves me, who cares for me, and he's given me everything I could ever dream of now. And like a fine restaurant, I want to tell everybody, you got to come over here and eat some of this.
This is
so much better than the way I used to live.
And so you talk a lot about God and spirituality. Explain to our listeners what that means to you, because a lot of people are afraid to say God. They're afraid of church. Talk about your relationship with God and how that developed in your spirituality.
I take it from the premise that he loves me, and then it's almost like a rebirth, because I had to undo a lot of the things that I had lived my life believing.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep saying that I'm stupid, fat, and ugly and will never amount to nothing, then I get to stop myself and say, who's saying that? Mm-hmm. Is it true? What does God say about it?
Okay.
God says, you were wonderfully made. Well, then that was a lie, everything I was telling myself. And so I started to line up what God said about me, because I still at first didn't love me. I had to love myself through his eyes first. And that kind of helped me to heal myself. And together we walk daily, all day, and he helps still to heal me throughout the day, even if I think a wrong thought or say the wrong thing.
And, you know, you've talked a lot about thinking, and thinking is so powerful. and you shared earlier that the things that you would think of were not even true. And
right.
So many people
they were lies.
And so many people walk their entire lives living out a lie. So you say your relationship with God is you're saying what God is saying about you, that you're wonderful, that you're great, that he loves you.
Yes, and that's true. And I make that my truth. And now I believe that that is the truth. But
so
the lies, I lived in a different type of world in my mind.
Right, and you're so right. It is all in our mind. And so now that you are walking in the truth of God, then I'm sure your whole life has changed.
It has, and my outlook on life has changed, and just the way I see things, and people will say, there's a glow about you.
Wow.
And I take that as a compliment. And literally, I used to walk down the street, and people say, it's going to be all right. You can smile.
Oh, my God.
And I used to look at them like they were crazy.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it ain't that bad. But what I was feeling on the inside was probably showing on my face.
Yeah, because scientists have discovered that whatever you continually think about, whatever you truly believe, would just be an outward manifestation of what's truly going on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And so do you believe in going to church, or what do you believe?
I do believe that you should assemble yourself together. And I'm a bit...
You're what?
It's said I was off the host cue.
Okay. And so I didn't hear what you said, Tyka. You said
okay,
what about church?
In regard to church, I think you should find God. I don't want to put down any one religion or lift up any other religion.
I understand.
I'm kind of in weird when it comes to that in politics. I just
right.
know that there is a God. He is good. And however you find him, find him. Because it's worthwhile finding him.
It certainly is, and I agree with you 100%. So what kind of daily principles do you live by? Do you have daily rituals that you practice in your life that sort of work for you that you can share with our listeners?
I usually start my day by reading the Bible or listening to some type of gospel program
mm-hmm.
on television, and it just kind of sets the tone for the day for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just take that time for myself because I put on my clothes before I go out of the house. I felt I needed to put on my spiritual clothes before I got up and started my day. So
that's a great principle. Tony Robbins calls it an hour of power.
Okay.
So what about vision? Have you always been a visionary? You said that you were writing songs and plays at such a young age. So what about vision? Do you write your goals down? What would you say to people about having a vision for their lives?
I think in regard to a vision for their lives, if you pray, at least for me, I needed to pray. I needed to hook up with God and us be together in agreement on what should I do with the rest of my life? Why am I still here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do? Where should I go? And he will give me the desires of my heart if I trust him and believe him and just follow as best as I can, you know, with what he gives me. Same thing when I write a song. I'll pray about the song. Please, you know, sometimes I'll even beg because nothing's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Other times I'll hear a melody and go, man, that's a song. So it the creative process works different ways for me with the different avenues that I do, the writing, the art, everything.
And so do you have your goals written down, or do you set goals? And once you pray to God about your goals, do you just sort of write it down, or do you just start moving in the area where you feel that you should be going?
I'm moving in the areas, and I'm praying that there will be favor shown.
Okay.
Help me with this. Help me with that. I don't sit down and write out goals.
Okay, because it works differently for different people, doesn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
So you're creative. You talk to me about your music. How do you write a song? How does that happen for you?
Years ago, I would usually start with a melody, and then the words would come, and I'd write it down. And why I started doing gospel music was because I was pumping gas, and melody came, the words came, and halfway home I could still remember it. I wanted to write it down, didn't have a paper and pen, got home and was able to remember all the lyrics. Hmm. It kept happening. And I've been writing music since I was 10, but I've always had to write down the lyrics to remember it, sometimes record on a tape recorder the melody. These songs, I could remember the melody, could remember the lyrics, start to finish, and I said, this has got to be God. Mm-hmm. And that's what started me writing gospel music. It was about him.
And so what is the purpose of your music now?
It's the same thing. A lot of the stories start out usually with someone wanting something, needing something. I've got a song called Joy on the CD, and that girl, she goes to clubs and she's partying and carrying on, and her dad's been trying to get her into church. She finally goes to church and she sees these people dancing and stuff like they kind of do in the club, but they got something else on them. They got
right.
this joy on them. And she said, man, I want some of that kind of joy. I've been out there dancing and sweating and y'all look happy. I want that type of joy. So her life turns around by going to church, and she finds what she was looking for was in God and the joy in church.
Well, I noticed that you said that all generations are listening to your music. Share with our listeners about your new CD and what's on your new CD and what songs that you – what's your favorite song on the CD? I know that's a difficult question to answer, but tell them about your CD.
Yeah, I got a couple of favorites, and for different reasons. Let's see, there's one song called Good Day, and that talks about a girl who, you know, she's just sitting in her house and she's depressed. She doesn't know why, so she gets up and she walks down the street. She sees a man and he doesn't have any legs, but he's happy. Mm-hmm. She walks past an old lady who's hanging up clothes, and the lady tells her to look up at the sky, and that's why I'm happy. So the songs kind of have a little story to them, all of them. But at the end result, it is a good day. She's going to try, this girl is, and go with God. That's pretty much the end of that song.
And you said the younger generation, they're very interested in your music. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like that a 17-year-old would say, I got some mad cool beats. That's kind of fun. And she also said that she didn't know singing about Jesus could be so funky, and I like that too.
Right, right. And so for maybe a young person who is very creative, how can they begin to make money with their musical gift? I know you said you're also you're an artist, right? So how can a person who's very creative, what would you begin to say that they can begin to do to make money with their gift?
I think if that's what they really want to do, make sure it's lining up with God, and he okays it too, because then that's when those doors are going to open for you. He'll open those doors for you, and he'll put people in your life to help you get there. So I think praying would be a wonderful start. You could also fast, add some fasting to it, and just let God know how extremely serious you are about wanting to do this. If you are writing lyrics, then get with somebody who writes melodies. If you only write the melody, find somebody that writes lyrics. Or even better yet, ask God to give you both of those talents
right.
So you can do it both.
And so the entertainment industry, is it difficult?
I think I don't know if it's a difficult field, but I think people make anything. Anytime you put a group of people together, they have all got different ideas. I think that, you know, kind of, that's a little difficult sometimes. Some people have egos, and you don't want to hurt this person or that person. So I guess there's some egos in there.
Right.
So you go, I don't want to step on your toes, brother, but I can't use your keyboard playing right now or your background vocals. I'd like to use this person, and so jealousy may come up, and
right.
All you can do is pray about it and go for it.
So what do you think about Michael Jackson's death? What do you think the lesson is in that in his death?
I don't know if there is a lesson, and if we're supposed to get a lesson out of him dying. I think I'd like to maybe concentrate on more the lesson that he left while he was alive.
Right.
He's got some beautiful poems, and I don't know how many people have read that book, but
I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
One story in particular, now I can't remember it, but it brought me to tears. And I said, this guy really has a lot to say inside of himself, and it would have been nice to have even more books published by him. I'm not sure if he did, but... So
the lesson that should be learned from that should be his life, that is, living out his purpose, using his gift and talent, and a spirit of excellence. I agree with that.
Yeah, and let's continue to celebrate Michael Jackson the same, because I didn't know him personally. I mean, let's continue to celebrate him the way we always did, and, you know, we'll continue to play his music. He's left a lot for us,
a lot of good
songs.
Well, I want to go back to image and weight, especially with women. You know, in this society, how you look, what size you are, et cetera, is just so powerful. It comes across the TV screen, all of the ads, all of the advertisement. Talk to us a little bit. So how is your weight now?
I'm still overweight for my height, but I'm happy with where I'm at. And I know for so long I wasn't, but I got happy with where I was at when I was bigger than this.
Okay.
So that, I'm glad it worked that way instead of me losing weight. And so now that's why I feel better. But so I came to grips with that. But that's, you know, been in that six-year period where I've gone through my transition here into who I am now. What I feel about overweight people is that, one, you want to be healthy. But if you're a bigger girl and you love it, I don't see what's wrong with it. I was just recently in Kansas City, and the club that we went into, I don't know how many big women were in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were having a good time. They seemed to enjoy themselves and carry themselves, you know, like ladies. Nothing too much was hanging this way or that way. But they were bigger women, and they seemed happy with themselves. And I'd much rather see an overweight woman say, I really love me. What hurts me is when they say, I don't want to go outside, and people laugh at me, and I wish I didn't look like this. I wish I didn't have to eat like this. That makes me sad.
Right. And you said a key point, loving yourself for where you are. That is so key, because most people say they don't live in the now. The principle is loving and being happy in the now. When I lose weight, then I'm going to be happy. Or when I get my boyfriend, I'm going to be happy. Or when I get my new contract, I'm going to be happy. But what you're saying is that you just loving yourself for where you are now.
Right. You know, and some people, when I was overweight, I would, you know, maybe just throw on anything. And I wouldn't keep my nails manicured or something like that, because the world on the outside made me feel so ugly anyway.
Right.
Nobody's going to see me. I might even be invisible if I go, you know, out like this. So you just got to, I guess, look back into yourself and what's making you maybe feel okay, and find a way to fix it. And the only way I knew was to go to that manual. Nothing else, and no one else could help me.
I had to
go to the creator, the source.
Right. I'm in such agreement with that, because when you love yourself, you begin to take better care of yourself.
Yes.
And I think once you know you are loved and then you love yourself, then your eating changes. It may be very small. What you do with your body changes, but I think that's very key. What do you think about the pressure that's put on women to be really skinny?
Again, I'm the big girls club, so I don't, you know. But you know, there are a lot of people who are thin, and you go in their refrigerator and they got weight on. They've got, you know, shakes in their refrigerator wishing they could get heavier because they're not happy being that thin.
Right, and so really it's a matter of just accepting and loving yourself.
Right, because everybody's going to talk about you, whether you're doing good or you're doing bad, so you might as well love yourself and go on for it.
Right, right. So tell me about mentors or coach. Do you believe in mentors? Do you have people who have mentored you or coached you? What is your feeling on mentors or coaches?
I think that's a wonderful thing, and everybody does need help. It's almost like training wheels on a bicycle. You know, maybe they're there to help you until you can ride that bike by yourself. And if that works for them, whatever makes you get to where you need to be, you know, which is healthy and whole and happy, I think that's good. A lot of ministers, a lot of pastors and things like that I've had along the way, and I still do off and on. And taking even old things from Martin Luther King, I just found a couple of things recently. And so I kind of get it from a little bit of I learn every way.
Right.
From everybody.
So what do you see in your future, Taika? What are you thinking and believing and knowing about your future?
I'm going to definitely continue to be this happy. I've never smiled so much.
Really?
Yeah, I used to cry a lot, and I don't cry like that anymore. And so I'm out here doing this because I know where I've come from, and I don't want other people to be where I was at. And if you're where I was at, I know a way you can get out, and it's by God, and find him however you have to find him. What I plan to do in the future is doing some more traveling, doing some more speaking, definitely more interviews. I've got a couple more books in me, and I've got a lot more music in me.
And so you're happy. You've been laughing throughout the show. When you listen to this again, you're going to hear yourself. Mm-hmm. And it comes through, and I think people can feel that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, why would I sit here and lie about it? And if it's, again, that restaurant, go there to that restaurant yourself, taste the food. I'm saying go to try God for yourself, taste it. And if you don't like it, you can always leave, but I guarantee you're going to like it. It's where we were meant to be in the beginning, I think.
Right, right. Well, talk a little bit about forgiveness. I know you said you had a lot of things that happened to you in your childhood, and you had a lot of struggles, and you went through a lot of things. Did you have to go through the process of forgiving your parents or forgiving other people in your life, and how would you suggest the person work through that?
For me, there's been a lot of different things. I'll speak on the one, and that's why the book was entitled Mama Never Taught Me How to Sing.
Mm-hmm.
I resented my mother for not being there as a child, not teaching me how to cook or how to comb my hair and do feminine things for myself. And so as I got older, I realized had she tried to do it all and be superwoman, that other things would have fallen down instead. She would have went on welfare, not that that's a bad thing because I was on that, but she chose to work instead. And she got 3 jobs, and she kept everything together, and she did her best. And as I got older, I learned that, and she did a wonderful job. She went on to get her master's degree and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we ended up being the best of friends. I grew up, and then she could explain to me why she did some of the things she did, and, you know, I could apologize, and we could just laugh, and we went to Austria together when I'd go on tour, and my mom she was my best friend, so.
Oh, that's so wonderful, because so many people just sort of stay and walk in unforgiveness. And somebody said unforgiveness is kind of like drinking poison and then expecting not to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because you become your own prisoner when you walk in unforgiveness.
Yeah, and it was uncalled for, but it was from a teenage and a child's viewpoint of things.
Right.
You weren't mother's knows best, father's knows best, that Kitty and all of that. I'm watching TV and wishing that June Cleaver was my mom.
Right.
But
when God gave you the mom that you needed.
Exactly.
And so
what a wonderful mother I found out at the end. You know?
Right. Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so becoming a mother has helped you to maybe kind of understand your mother even better.
That, and I just learned all the things that I wouldn't do. I'd make sure no one would ever call them dumb, fat, stupid, or ugly. And if they did, I kept grilling them on, what do? You turn it around. You bring it to God. You in trouble, you go to God.
Right.
I'm not always going to be with you, but God will always be with you.
Mm-hmm. Your face sounds very strong, Taika, when you talk. It just comes through. It comes through. So what about your brother, Prince? I was reading your bio, and you said that people asked you, do you go to him for help with your music, and you said no. Share with our listeners about that.
The reason I don't is because everybody knows what Prince's music like, it sounds like, and everybody loves his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And once he puts his hand into my stuff, then it'll no longer be mine. And how will I ever know if you like my music?
Ah.
So I'd like to try it this way, but, yes, I do plan on, you know, asking him to maybe put his foot or a finger or something in some of my later work. But for right now, I'd like to still just try to do it on my own for a little bit longer.
I understand. Well, you know, this show is about the law of attraction, which basically talks about whatever you think about, you bring into your life, whatever you truly believe you bring into your life. You're surrounded by your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions and your feelings. So what is your take on the law of attraction?
I think we are, especially, and I the only reason I've had a little more chance to think about this is because of Bryce, and I think you know him well.
I know him well.
and it's almost like he attracted me, or as soon as we hooked up, it was almost like two magnets kind of going together and going, cling, now you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets different people in his life, and everybody's just kind of clinging together like that. And everybody that he's introduced me to has such a wonderful personality. I met you through him and a few other people, and everybody kind of has that same, I don't know, charge about your life.
Right.
You seem to kind of be glowing yourself, even
I
though
am
I've
glowing.
Never seen you in person.
I am glowing, and, you know, like attracts like, and for our listeners, the way that I really met Taika was through another radio host, and I was just sharing with him, and he said, you've got to meet her because the two of you think alike and you really want to help people and you really have a passion for women, and here we are.
Yeah.
So you really create your own reality with your thoughts and your feelings.
Yeah, and your show's wonderful. I was able to go on and take a look at some things and all of that you're doing, and just the love that you have for wanting to share your gifts with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's about, that passing it forward.
Right. So what do you believe about serving others and paying it forward and giving to others? What is your belief about that?
I think that's why I'm here, I'm not here for me. I think I'm here for everybody else.
And that's so true, because people ask me, they say, well, why are you doing that show? And so what are you getting from it? I'm like, what am I getting from it? I'm interviewing phenomenal people, and I am serving others. And every time I go and look at how many downloads I have, I say, thank you, God, because you never know how people's lives are being changed.
That's right.
Just like you said, you were created to give to others, and that's exactly what you're doing through your book and through your music. So what kind of comments or insight have people been saying that they've been receiving from either your book or your music? Can you remember one that really just sort of stands out in your mind?
One does, and I didn't know that this person, and I knew her another way, and I met her on MySpace, but I knew her through some of the other emails that she, you know, sent me and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me some more personal things about her but not disclosing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it almost just kind of fell in line. And now I see that that book is doing what I intended it to do, which is make people not feel so alone, and what can you do if you do feel alone. And I also just recently got an email with someone saying that maybe I shouldn't have told all my business like that. And so now I see why it's okay that I did. Some people don't want to, you know, say some of those things. But
right.
It's real. It's reality.
It is real. And I think that anytime you write, somebody said writing is healing, and you're releasing a lot of stuff. I know I'm an author, but I think that anytime you really just share your own life, that it brings healing to you a hundredfold, and you never know. Just writing and sharing is just a place of bringing healing to you. And I want to commend you for doing it, for really being gutsy enough to having the guts to do it.
Well, thank you. You know, again, people think, well, you're Prince's sister. You don't have to do that. But maybe that's why I should do it, because there's a little girl down the street, maybe 50 years from now, who will pick up that book and say, man, I don't have to kill myself. There's going to be some of this.
Right. And so you said that people don't have to feel lonely. Besides going to God, what can people do who feel disconnected or alone? What else can they do?
Besides finding God, they can maybe reach out, you know, on the Internet. There's a lot of people on the Internet, but, of course, you have to pray about it. You know, these people cannot even be who they are on the Internet, so you have to be careful with who you are writing to.
Right.
But prayer, of course, always prayer. And there's churches. We've got three churches right in the few blocks where I live.
Right.
And so Jehovah's Witness comes to the door. I mean, you know, the man said he was drowned, and God, you didn't. I sent a boat. I sent a plane. And he's still waiting for God to come down and pick him up, but I don't know if you know that story.
Yeah, I know that story. I know that story.
Yeah.
Well, I know that God comes in many forms to us, but we have to recognize it.
Yeah.
So you have a big Internet community. Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of people will seek me out for curiosity, and then other people will seek me out because of the music, because it's something positive, because it's funky to dance to, and now we're going to just really start pushing the book a lot more. So we'll be doing some book signings and things like that. And
so have you helped a lot of people via the Internet where people feel comfortable enough to email you? I know you shared a couple of examples with me where you can really touch people who may be hurting. Do you have a blog or anything like that that you share with people?
Not so much a blog. I'll send out bulletins. I usually email people back on comments, or I'll send them a personal message. Some people have reached out and asked, you know, one gentleman said he goes through some problems sometime, and he's had some problems in the music business. And I told him if he'd like, he could always email me back, and I'll hook him up with some of the other brothers.
Right.
I try not to get too close to the guys, but
I understand that.
But women, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I emailed people back and forth, Switzerland, you name it, Germany. I've got different people that I keep in contact with.
So you are called to bring healing to people. Is that how you see yourself?
If you could say it's a healing, if they can get healing through what I've got out here, then definitely, please heal and please smile, and please let the tears be only of joy and not of sadness.
Isn't there a song, Tycho, about no more tears? I think I heard something like that the other day, no more tears. I can't remember. I don't know if you've heard that or not. So what is your take on joy, having joy in your life? How important is that, and gratitude?
gratitude. You have to be grateful for everything because you can sometimes take it for granted. And then as soon as it's gone, then you go, man, I could have turned out that light. You know, if your light bill gets cut off,
right.
I could have had all those lights on. And then for a week or two, then you're real careful. Then you start taking it for granted again, and there's nine lights on again.
Right.
So I think God off and on kind of taps you and straightens you out if you're getting to the point where you don't thank those people enough. I believe in giving people their flowers while they're alive, so me and my family do that quite often, is let someone know, buy a new pair of shoes, you know, a brother in the church, or, you know, some flowers or fruit or some Gates barbecue sauce. I mean, you know, I thought of you, and that's kind of how we're saying we appreciate you.
Right. And having joy in your life, like you said earlier, just loving yourself, accepting yourself, and being grateful for who you are right now, knowing that change may come, but also for where you are and what you have.
Exactly. Right where you're at. Like the girl that was feeling sorry for herself in my song Good Day, she couldn't see the forest for the tree. She had everything she needed. She could walk, and the man down the street couldn't.
Right.
She was still young. The old lady around the corner was old, but they both found joy.
Right, right. So tell our listeners, how can people contact you, your web address, how can they get your book, your CDs, et cetera?
My CD is A Brand New Me. It's on CD Baby. And let's see, for the book, we just switched publishers, but that is www.ladiesofcaliber.com.
Say that again, Tyka. It's what, www.what?
Ladiesofcaliberpublishing.com.
Okay.
And that's where you can get Mama Never Taught Me How to Sing. It's a new publishing company. You can always go to MySpace. If you put in my name, Tyka Nelson, and Prince's Sister, you'll get a bunch of hits pop off that way too.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes left, and if somebody is listening, what could you say to that person? What would be your last words to some of our listeners today to really motivate and encourage and empower them?
I guess just to remember that if you ever feel like you can't do it, and you're sitting there going, I can't do it, there's nothing in me that's going to help me do this, I can't do it, just remember, when you can't, God can.
Oh, that's very powerful. Well, I'm just so excited to have met you via the telephone. You and I have spoken, and you're just a remarkable woman. And
you
I can
are too.
See you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see you doing great and powerful things in people's lives to really help to encourage and empower them. And I just want to thank you so much for being on my show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was fun.
Okay. Well, blessings to you, Tyka. I'll be talking to you.
God bless you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, wasn't that just a great interview with Tyka Nelson? She's such a remarkable woman. But I just want you to take some of the principles that she shared today and begin to create your own reality. I love it when she talked about how she had to make a decision that she had been living lies all of her life, and so that meant that she had to change her thinking. And so during this upcoming week, I want you to really begin to monitor your thinking and then begin to change your thinking and your believing about who you are, what you can do, and what you can have. You know, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest show. I just want to thank you so much for tuning in today, and we're on every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you know, my last words will be to you that I believe that if you change your thinking and believing, that you will begin to manifest the life of your dreams. Have a good week. Remember to implement the concepts and principles that you heard today, and I will talk to you next week. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.